Happy New Year, everybody.
You just started. What's up? Welcome to 2026.
I mean, guys, you know what? We're going to enter into some positivity, you know, because there's a lot of things happening in the world and it's crazy, but like, it's a new year. We can set some goals. We can have a new mindset. And I mean, we have a new country, so that's cool. So,
Wait, what?
Oh yeah, so we run Venezuela now, so.
Oh, I heard that. I did hear that.
Okay, sorry. I'm sorry to be positive. Sorry.
Yeah,
you're right. I was playing dirty. Oh. I was playing dirty.
I guess that counts.
Yeah.
Are you really going to start off 2026 doing that?
Well, I want to play fair, but you caught me playing dirty.
I just want to know, you're not stopping the bit. Like, you're doing this for 2026.
You never know. You know me, always playing dirty.
Oh my God. Scott, start the show.
Whoop, whoop.
Jonathan Braylock, James the Third, Rob Milligan, Jamie McGinn.
Welcome to Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood. Hollywood City. Oh wait, that's you.
Hollywood City.
Wow.
Yeah, that's me. Wow, what?
We're just a mess. We don't know what to do anymore.
How are we a mess? What happened?
James the Third isn't here. Everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everything's
gone. I don't have a quote from this movie. I don't have a quote. I was going to do a quote, but I don't have a quote.
I mean, what would the quote be? Hold on. Let me get into character. Does he say that? He says something like that.
Oh yeah.
I need a moment to get out of character. I think that was
It's so funny because he does nothing that is like character-y the entire movie.
What's funny about it is he has no character. So that's...
No. No.
That's the irony of it all.
This is a payday movie.
He keeps saying he's going to play a character, but in reality, he has no character. Wow, IMDb does not...
Nope.
Oh wait. I was saying the title wrong. It's Play Dirty. I was saying playing dirty.
Well, look at you.
You know what? What a way to start off this new year. And this is not, I'm going to tell you right now, this is not what we're going to be. We're not going to be like this year. Okay? We're not going to be all disorganized and, you know, just we're fumbling along, not sure what to say, not sure how to talk about a film that clearly doesn't have a black lead, even though... You know, and you're listening to this podcast. You don't even know what we're talking
about. He's on the poster. Yeah, you got to set up the show. Set up the show.
Listen, we are a film review podcast. We review the films of leading black actors in the context of race and diversity in Hollywood. We've been doing this for over 10 years now. It's going on 11. And, you know, when we first started this, Oscars were so white that they named them that twice.
Yeah.
And then all this progress happened. There was a movement. There was a push, an awakening, awakening. People were like,
wow,
we got to get diversity. Let's add in more voters to the academy. Let's get in more black creators. Let's make sure we are not just having white people tell white stories all the time.
Have we though? Because this was the year that had one of the lowest rates of people of color directors and women directors in.
Well, this is what I said. I was talking about the past.
Got it. You meant 2020.
That's what we had.
The 3 months of 2020.
You know, there was a buildup. There was seemingly a ramp up for, you know, it started in like, I don't know, 2018. They were like, let's do this thing. And then 2020, it was like, yeah.
Yeah.
And then we're not there anymore. And in fact, maybe we're, it's old, it's tired. And so now where are we? We are.
We've regressed.
We're back to, you know, look, there was a lot of movies out and not a single one had a black lead, and we didn't know what to do. We were scrambling.
Nope. Listen, I suggested a Tubi movie.
Gerard was so desperate. He said, let me go to Tubi because Tubi's got a bunch of black films.
They do.
Let's review. Hey, what was the film? What was the name of the film?
Hey, y'all DM us. I suggested The Grinch That Stole the Bitches.
Draw out here, thirsty.
Bro, that's one of their biggest. Thirsty. That's one of their biggest movies. Is called The Grinch Who Stole the Bitches.
And we're back, baby. We're back to the 70s. You know what I'm saying?
We're this, black. No, we're worse than the 70s. Because the 70s, at least those blaxploitation movies made it in theaters.
You're
you know
right.
What I'm saying? Pam Grier became a crossover. Shaft? No, brother. We have reverted back to the 40s.
I watched
1948.
Tessa and I saw The Apartment, which is a classic film. It won Best Picture, starring Jack Lemmon and Shirley MacLaine. And it's this rom-com set during Christmas. It's a really fun movie. And I was really enjoying it. And then I wasn't even thinking about it. I was just like, oh, it's a fun old movie, black and white, blah, blah, blah. All this fun stuff's happening. And then at a certain point, I would say, I don't know, like an hour and 20 minutes into the movie, I didn't realize it until this person showed up. And I was like, oh, there's a black person. There's a black actor in this movie. He comes in as the butler, and he serves this man, I don't know, some food. And the man gives him a tip and he says, thank you, sir. And I was like, wow, he got a line. And that was his only line.
I'll tell you this right now. Well, I'm on the Google. That black actor is not even included.
Oh, he'll be way, way down. He had literally one line. It was like, thank you, sir.
Yeah, he's not even on. He's not on the page.
I'm sure he wouldn't be. So we are. There are three of us who usually host this podcast. James III isn't here. Mm-hmm. The voice you're listening to now is the voice of someone who will no longer be assuming roles in movies because there's not enough. And you know what? I just got to be myself. This has got to be me. And my name is Jonathan Braylock. That's who I am.
Wait, what? I don't even understand what you... What does that even mean?
I'm not doing this bit anymore. It's over. There's not enough black roles. I can't pretend to be somebody in the movie.
Oh, got it. Wait, I mean, you could pretend to be... The woman is a person of color.
No, I mean, there are... I mean, Lakeitha's in it, you know? But like, I'm not going to do the bit anymore. I just feel like this is my protest.
Got it.
Until we get back to some semblance of reality, I can't. Listen, I guess this is our reality.
This is the reality. But anyway, this voice that you hear, which is just trying to stay positive, is that of Gerard Milligan.
And that's what we're doing here. We're staying positive because you know what? I forgot to tell people. The director of this movie is Shane Black.
That's why I was like, okay, when it first started, I was like, all right, I can give this a chance.
Yeah. And his last name, I mean, he's white, but his last name is Black. So that's cool.
True.
Does that count for anything?
He may have a black friend.
Okay. So this film stars Mark Wahlberg as the clear-cut lead. Lakeith Stanfield is on the poster. It's strange, though, because...
Like number two, like his face, bro.
They're like, I think, does it appear before the title of the movie? I think it does.
Yes. Yes.
It's like Mark Wahlberg, Lakeith Stanfield, play dirty. He first appears 25 minutes into the film. He couldn't be more of a... I mean...
Bro, he's not in this movie.
I would venture to say that... I mean, obviously, Rosa Salazar, who's also in this film, is a bigger role than he is. I would venture... I mean...
She's the co-lead.
I think it's fair to say Tony Shalhoub is a bigger role than Lakeith is.
Yep.
In this film. And heck, I would even say, like... Keegan-Michael Key is like on par with Lakeith. Like he's in it just as much, basically.
Yeah, I think Lakeith may be like in a little bit more scenes. Yeah. And that's only because his scenes are only with, not only, but he has a couple of scenes with Mark Wahlberg alone.
Right. Which feel obligatory.
Yeah, it's like,
Like, they're not actually, I don't know if they actually have advanced the plot of the film. They're just like
showing he has a buddy.
Well, we're pretending Lakeith is a big part of this. So we gotta.
He's gotta have a buddy, right?
Which is an interesting thing to talk about, like what that means, like Lakeith's profile, that they are doing that, even though he's not as big. I don't know. That's a discussion to have. Before we do that, real quick, this is an Amazon movie, straight to Amazon, SVOD. That being said, it still had a production. Actually, they're not telling me what the production budget is. Smart. Because I imagine this would cost a lot of money.
I mean, it had a whole CGI thing at the end.
Yeah, this feels like it costs a lot of money, but they're keeping that a secret, which means it cost them so much money that it definitely shouldn't have cost that money. Okay, here's some interesting things according to Wikipedia, because this is based off of a book. This is based off of a series called the Parker Book Series that was written under the pen name Richard Stark, but the real person is Donald E. Westlake, which I don't really know anything about those books.
I know, but I've never heard about it at all.
Yeah. But according to Wikipedia, Robert Downey Jr. was attached to film as an actor prior to Mark Wahlberg's involvement. And then in January 2024, Lakeith Stanfield joined the cast to portray Grofield.
Wait, who was a part of the cast before Mark Wahlberg? Lakeith?
Oh, Robert Downey Jr. was going to do it first.
Got it. That makes sense. Actually, that makes sense. Because I saw him and his wife produced it.
Got it. So this is saying that Team Downey and Shane Black began working together on this project in March 2022, with Black having adapted a script from the Parker novels with Charles Mondry and Anthony Bagarossi, with Black set as a director. Producers included Susan Downey for Team Downey. I guess is that Robert Downey Jr.'s
wife? Yes, his wife.
Yeah. And so then they worked with producers Joe Silver, but then Joe Silver was replaced. And then it says that Black repurposed the film's title, Play Dirty, from his unused screenplay for Lethal Weapon 2.
Oh, but see, no, but then, but if that was the case, if it was the unreleased, you would have had more Lakeith, because he would have been writing for a Black and a white. Well,
this is the thing that I'm so curious about, because they have them both on the poster, and they like, it's, I think the movie is advertised as it is like some sort of, I mean, they're both crooks. So it's like, what if we did Lethal Weapon, but instead of cops, they're criminals? Like, agreed. It's some team duo, but it's not a team. Like, Lakeith is no more a part of this team than, to me, any other person who was a part of this team. Like, he's not important.
No, and at one point I thought they were going to treat him like Brad Pitt in Ocean. So where I was like, okay, this is the right-hand man. He's the one who's really going to have the plan. He's the one who's going to be doing a bunch of stuff. And it wasn't. And the thing is I think this movie would have been better served if it was a two-hander between him and Lakeith versus him and what is the actress's name? Rosalina?
Rosa Salazar.
Rosa. And it's no diss to her. It's just like that made no sense to me. Just
no. And no, you don't sense. Buy it ever. So, you may know Rosa Salazar. She was Alita in Alita Battle Angel, which is a film that I don't think did very well, but it had it. I mean, talk about a huge budget. I did see that movie. You know who's in that movie?
Which movie?
Mahershala is in that film.
What's the film?
It's called Alita Battle Angel. It looks
I
so
saw
weird.
That movie. Mahershala's in that?
Yeah, yeah. For a little bit. She's also in the Maze Runner series.
I thought there was only boys in it.
It was in the first one, but then when they come out, there are girls. So she's in the Scorch Trials and the Death Cure. Because there was a girls' maze. There was a girls' maze. They find out there was a girls' maze. The same thing was happening for them.
I legit only remember the first movie. I don't think I've ever seen.
No, why would you? I don't think the other movies did as well. I wound up reading I read all those books.
Wow.
They're page turners. They're really fun. Like, they're not good, but they're they're interesting enough. You may have noticed we haven't talked much about Play Dirty, the actual film. And
we're setting it up, you know.
We're setting the stage. So, because Rotten Tomatoes, it has a 42% critic score and a 42% popcorn meter. The audience and critics agree this movie is 42%.
Hey. You know what?
There's not a lot of times. You know, there's some unity, and I like that.
Unity.
We need that. We need that.
Unity. Heck yeah. I'm like, you know what? Good. I mean, this movie, though.
We got. And Tessa was like, is he really on the poster, or was he just on your thumbnail because they know you like black actors? And I was like, oh, snap. But then I've looked it up, and I think he's on the poster. Like, he's on the real poster.
I'm on the website. What is this?
He's on the real poster, and also, he was above the title credits. Like, anyway. It wasn't like, and including, or like, and Lakeith Stanfield, like they do sometimes, you know.
Yeah, no. He's on the poster.
He's on the poster.
Just the two of them.
It's just the two of them.
Yeah.
But the movie is not about the two of them in any way, shape, or form.
No. Oh, wait. So, Bray, are you telling me that they made this movie selling a black actor who does nothing in the movie?
Yes. And here's the other thing I was going to say. Did you see The Running Man?
I did not.
Not The Running Man. Sorry. Not The Running Man remake. What's the one that Channing Tatum was in?
Roof Man. No, I actually said I wanted to see that, but it was out of theaters before I could like watch it.
Yeah. I thought it was definitely it was an entertaining film. And Lakeith Stanfield is in that movie playing, to me, a very similar role. He's like the guy that the guy calls up and he's like, I need help, blah, 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 blah. Like, and he's like, okay, man, but like, here's all the problems you're going to be dealing with. I was like, this is the exact same role. He's like in this movie a little bit more, but it's like the same movie. And I was like, they just call up Lakeith to just be the black dude that like a white guy calls to be like, hey, help me out with some criminal stuff.
I mean, kind of, because I'll tell you this right now. He is in another movie that I think I can't say because it's a spoiler, but it is another movie that is white led with two white people. And he appears in that movie to throw the leads around a little bit. I guess that character's a little better. No, it's not. That movie's awful. It's awful. But anyway.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Guys, holidays are here. New Year is fast approaching. And look, a new year doesn't mean there has to be a new you, but there could probably be a less burdened you. And therapy can help you more easily identify what weighs you down by offering an unbiased perspective to understand your relationships, motivations, and emotions. You know, I myself am in therapy, and, you know, it's allowed me to talk through some of the kind of mental hangups that I have, some things that I'm maybe holding on to that I could let go. You know, I don't know what that is for you. Maybe it's fear of failure. Maybe it's people pleasing. Maybe it's doubting yourself. Well, here's the thing. With BetterHelp, you get quality therapists that work according to a strict code of conduct, and they're fully licensed in the U.S. BetterHelp does the initial matching work for you so you can focus on your therapy goals. And if you aren't happy with your match, you can switch to a different therapist at any time from their tailored recs. With over 30,000 therapists, BetterHelp is one of the world's largest online therapy platforms, having served over 5 million people globally. And it works with an average rating of 4.9 out of 5 for a live session based on over 1.7 million client reviews. BetterHelp makes it easy to get matched online with a qualified therapist. Sign up and get 10% off at betterhelp.com. That's betterhelp.com. All right. So shall we do initial thoughts? There's anything else to say?
Yeah, I'll go. I didn't like this movie, and it sucks because I like Shane Black. I think the reason I don't like it is because I think everything about what Mark Wahlberg character does in this movie makes no sense. Like, I think...
Correct.
And it just makes no sense. And the fact, to be honest, I don't like that he did not shoot that woman immediately. I get if he wanted to get the money, but then at that point, we needed to see it on camera. I didn't like that. I think Lakeith was so underserviced. I thought Keenan Michael Key was under. If you're going to have Keegan in it, Keegan needs to be slinging jokes nonstop. Like they put Keegan in a costume and he barely had any time to even do weird voices. And I thought the heist aspect of it was not fun, which was very shocking. There was so much death. Like at one point in this movie, I was like, they're shooting everybody.
I know. Like also like that, the train crash that happened. I'm like, how many people died in that?
The whole time I was like, man, there's casualties. But yeah, I didn't enjoy it. Honestly, I think I saw one of your reviews of another movie, of an animated movie, and this movie is very unforgettable. Like, I feel like watching this movie, it was going right out of my head.
Yeah.
Like, it was just going right out of my head, right out of my head. So, how do we even talk about it? Lakeith's barely in it. At one point, I was like, you know what? I'm going to go upstairs, make my bed, clean the sink. And I had the TV on loud so I could hear his voice. I come back downstairs. My man had just come back. They did so much with Mark Wahlberg and Rose that he was gone for like the middle of the movie.
He's barely in this movie. He really is. Also, like I did, there was that Kerry Washington movie that came out earlier that my cousin suggested we review, Shadow Force, but like it's only on Stars.
Wait, the one with her and the guy who the world wants me to believe is one of the greatest disguised, what is he, a spy or something?
Yeah.
That every time I see a goddamn trailer for that show, I get mad.
Oh, Lupin.
Brave.
Talking about Lupin?
That man is a giant.
So good.
That man is a giant, Bray.
So fun. Anywho, play dirty. Yeah, so...
you forgot what movie. You had to remind yourself.
I think your analysis is on point. There is no... There basically is no character development for anybody outside of Rosa. Like, she's the only person who has a character that makes any sort of semblance of sense.
Yep.
The character for, like, Parker, like, Mark Wahlberg's character, like...
Why is he so good?
He, like, supposedly is only doing this for money, but then, like, at the end... Like, also, like, I remember at the end of the movie when he kills the big bad, he says... He's like, nobody tells me where I can't walk. And I was like, you said that an hour and 30 minutes into the film. Like that, like, don't pretend like this was your thing all the time. Like that was never your thing. You just like, he wrote it into the script, like halfway through this, like a little more than halfway through the script. And he said that. And I was like, that was never your thing. Like earlier on, you didn't want to face the outfit. You were scared of the outfit. Mm-hmm. Like, and now all of a sudden you're not scared of them like whatsoever. Literally, I understand. Yeah, go ahead.
No, but to your point, what makes me so annoyed about that is that he didn't even want to go on this mission. So that's the fact, like you're saying, it's like he didn't want to go on this mission, and all of a sudden he's
only doing
vendetta.
It for money, and then he winds up not even getting money by the end of this movie, right? Like he basically has no money. He blows up a lot of the money. So yeah. I was like, what?
He kept like the jewels, or like
a couple of jewels.
Yeah, it was weird.
Which I didn't even understand where he got those. Like I didn't even understand that.
I don't either. I was like, when did diamonds and jewels come into play?
When did you ever get these? Yeah. We're supposed to believe that one, that they were somehow attached to this sculpture, and two, that you somehow picked up all these little tiny jewels like in that chaos? No, you didn't.
And also, anyway. We never heard about them before.
This movie made no, like, I know with action movies, it doesn't really, like, it's fine. Like, sometimes you just throw stuff out the window. But, like, the idea that they could have done all this stuff and not been caught by the police is just, like, so far-fetched. I just, like, couldn't even.
You mean a shootout in Jersey? On a New Jersey street? They just had a straight-up gunfight?
I mean, there are so many things. But, like, this dude committed a terrorist act. They crashed an MTA subway train onto the streets of New York that clearly killed at least a dozen people, if not more. And then had a shootout after he did that. And we're shooting at the cops. Mm-hmm. And you're trying to tell me they were not going to catch, like, the idea that, and they weren't wearing, it's not like they were wearing masks the whole time. They have their faces everywhere. I'm like, do you know how much CCTV footage, like, they would have of them?
None of it makes sense. And what's so crazy about it too is that, first off, that scene you're talking about, somehow Lakeith slides right under
I mean, that's the part of like, fine, it's an action movie, but it's just like,
no.
Well, yeah, because you're anyway. So the thing that's most annoying is just the character to me, the character development and how Lakeith had none. Like when we first see him, and I basically only really want to talk about Lakeith because that's why we reviewed.
Yeah, that's why we're doing a review movie.
Like, so we first see him. It's 25 minutes into the film. So this whole double cross. That's also, oh my God, we didn't even talk about the beginning of this movie. Freaking Mark Wahlberg somehow is Superman, chases this guy down who's driving a car on foot. He's just running after him.
Oh, yes.
We're supposed to believe he can just chase this dude down on foot and then kills this guy in the broad daylight at a horse track where there are people and cameras everywhere, and somehow he gets away and there aren't police. Like, what?
Yeah, it makes zero sense.
And so then they get double crossed by Rosa. She kills everybody, shoots him. He falls into a river, but then immediately is
also,
okay.
First off, we got to talk about the shootout scene. First off, she's chilling. She's new to the group, which is insane to go on a... Like, it's insane to have one new person to meet that no one knows. All of a sudden, her way to distract them is to basically get naked and then shoot everybody up.
Undies with a see-through bra.
And then shoot everybody up. At some point, I was like, what... I was like, what is this scene? I was like, what is this... Like,
also, why do movies think that people can just like, I take out a gun, shoot, somehow manage to go shoot all these people who also have guns right by them.
No one gets a shot off. No one grazes her at any point.
Anyway, whatever. That's fine. That's whatever. So when we finally see Lakeith, he has his own theater, and a tax accountant is talking to him and saying, hey, you can't operate 5 years in the red. Like, that's not possible. You have to pay income tax. And he's like, why? I'm not making income. And so to me, I was like, oh, this is funny. Like, this is his front, right? Like, this is his money laundering place. But then as the movie progresses, we come to find out, no, he actually does care about the theater. And this is like the entirety of his character in this film is like, he likes acting.
Yes, but we never see. I don't even mind the acting thing. If he was the one playing characters, if he was doing what Keegan was doing, and like, I'm a master of disguise or something, you know what I mean? Like,
it feels so added on and feels like they were like, okay, like, this was not a part of Lakeith's thing at all. And they were like, well, we got Lakeith. We got this bigger name for the movie. We have to give him something. And they were like, I don't know. What about this theater thing we do? Okay. And then they just, like, backtracked into it, you know? And then they're like, well, we have Keegan playing. Like, Keegan needs to play this role. And it's like, well, then we'll have to add in a joke about why Lakeith isn't playing it. And the joke is, why don't you play the role of shutting the F up?
Which it may...
So not, we won't explain it. We'll just throw out a curse. And that will, that, so then you'll be satisfied as the audience. It's like, no, I'm not satisfied, actually. I want to know who this guy is. Why
is he doing any of it? Why is
he actually doing this to fund theater? Does he actually care about theater? I still can't really tell.
Neither can I, because at the end of the movie, Mark Wahlberg goes, you don't like theater, you just like stealing. Like, he literally says, like, you have a theater to steal from people to fund the theater.
Right.
Maybe you just like stealing. That's how it ends. Also, it ends with Lakeith coming back and saying the end. I'm like, bro, what is this?
Oh, yeah, that was so silly.
What's so crazy is, I don't want to talk about another movie, but I saw this other movie that is very popular. It has a very You probably have. I mean, I don't care what to say.
Why don't you just say it?
Because I don't like spoiling, because it would be spoiling, I think, another movie. Okay. But it's another very popular movie that came out on Christmas Day. How about that? And there's a black character that appears in that movie and almost does the exact same thing as Lakeith in his movie. He shows up. You hear he has an interest or a family, but his motivation is only to help the white guy do the thing that that guy needs to do. That job puts that black man in danger. I guess at least in this movie with Mark Wahlberg, they have an ending together that is cute and fun. But for the most part, neither character has an arc. They have no agency. They have nothing. Nothing.
I mean, the arc is supposed to be for Mark Wahlberg is that he like finally like cares about something other than himself. But like, we don't know enough about him for the in the start of the movie to really know that. Like, and like, it's not, he's not a good guy. He like kills people pretty, you know, easily.
Mark Wahlberg kills everybody. And the thing about that bothers me is that, again, this movie just shot. I didn't like how the movie handled the violence a little bit. Yeah. Like, it just was so much and just so frivolous. It was just like any and everybody was just getting murked for what reason, I do not know. But
it wasn't even dealt. It didn't feel like it was dealt with like in a serious way.
It wasn't dealt with at all. There was no stakes. It was no stakes.
Yeah, there's no stakes.
Literally, when Mark Wahlberg first runs up on Rose and the other guy's there, he shoots that guy so quick. How that guy gets back up again makes no sense. Then he shoots him again and she goes, oh, you killed him twice. And I'm like, what? There's no, she had just got shot.
I think it's supposed to be funny.
I know, but she just got shot and then she went.
Yeah, she got a bit of her ear shot off.
Which, if you notice, we never saw.
Correct.
That's the Trump ear. She got the Trump ear.
Oh, that's right. Oh, did they do that on purpose?
Yeah, remember when our president got shot in the ear?
And I do remember now.
We never saw a bruise or nothing. We're living.
You just got grazed.
It was bleeding.
Doesn't take much to bleed. Scratch.
Break. If you get shot and it goes past your ear, there is a mark that is left.
I don't know. I've never gotten shot in the ear.
If I slash your ear, right, there's going to be a cut.
Well, it's cartilage. Doesn't it grow back pretty quick?
Does it?
I don't know.
Where are the doctors at?
Look, basically, this movie, I don't even know what this movie, I mean, I guess it was just supposed to be a fun heist movie. I mean, I do think that like Tony Shalhoub is like a great actor. And so it was like kind of fun to see him. Like the Keith was charming in this. It was just that like, he literally has no character. Like he has no stakes to this. Like outside of just like the stakes are just like they all want money, which is fine. But like, cause like, you know, that's like a Ocean's 11 kind of thing. But to me, the thing is the main character of that movie, George Clooney, actually has stakes, which is he's doing this as revenge and he could possibly ruin it for everybody else because he cares about the revenge aspect more so than the money aspect. Right. So there's
which would be great.
Inherent tension between him and Brad Pitt and the rest of the crew because of that. And like him and Julia Roberts trying to get her back, right?
Yep.
Screwing over.
Yep. Benedict.
Yeah. But like we don't, but in this movie, like that's supposed to be that he lied about the outfit, but it's one, because we barely know Lakeith and because like we don't really understand, like he doesn't see, like he's just is like, he feels like he's barely a character. Like it doesn't feel like there's a real tension between them. So that scene where he's like, you lied to me, I literally was like, oh, I don't even remember him saying that actually, but
no,
sure. He did. I just don't remember it.
We don't know the history between the two of them.
Right.
Like they keep saying, oh man, Parker's back. I should have stepped in immediately.
Just know that they had some sort of deal.
Bray.
Oh, no, he stole. Well, we do. They did tell us, I guess, he stole from them at some point.
John Wick. Mm-hmm. The moment the guy says, whose car and dog you stole? Oh, some John Wick guy. who? And then you, and he goes through the list of all the things that John Wick has done. Everybody, John Leguizamo is in that movie. They talk right. about the things that John Wick has done. That guy from Mindy Project, who's a cop, shows up at the house and goes, "Hey, you're not back, right?" We know who this, this is a buildup of who this man is. If right. this guy is that famous, the girl should have been nervous when she shot at him in the first place. I feel like there was no fear of her of being killed by him at any point.
Know, I think she didn't know who he was at that point.
Which right? is fine. But to me, is at a certain point, you got to know. And at a certain point, you realize you killed his whole team. The whole team.
I know.
She
I
was mean, scared the- for 2 seconds and then started making jokes. I was like, bro, this is... You killed his friend.
I know. And he's making jokes.
Who was like married to his sister.
Which I guess is why we she dies in the end.
Maybe. We didn't see it.
I know we didn't, but...
Because she had a noble cause. Because I remember at one point she said at the very beginning, y'all want to just give me your money? Ha 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 ha. Well, this movie is topical because they went in to take out a dictator. So.
Yeah, I guess that's right.
We did that for free. Oh, gosh. We're in a simulation.
Also, it's like he lied to Mark Wahlberg, or he told Mark Wahlberg that the whole thing was done to set him up. And yet the police aren't there. Like, I just was like, what? Like, none of that makes any sense. It just was like, it because it just felt like there were no rules to where they were. I almost was like, well, just if you want to be like a Fast and the Furious movie, like do that. But like, you're not, I don't know.
No, the thing is, I was like, do you want to be, I was like, do you want to be Ocean's 11? Do you want to be like, what do you want to be?
Like, is he a superhero? Because he feels like it sometimes. Like when he gets like thrown off of cars and goes through windows and then immediately gets back up and starts running. And I'm just like, but that's not a human being.
He doesn't limp.
He never limps. John he never Rick has scratches. Limps. He's never he's barely bleeding in this movie.
Bro, they had him out in the cold in his underwear.
And they threw ice cold water on him. And then he was fine. His reflexes were quick as hell.
He didn't shiver. He took a coat and then put no pants on and no shoes and just...
Also, like, I don't understand. Like, these guys lock him up, throw hot water on him. They're like, we're going to get out of here. Another car comes and they're like, okay, maybe they're here early. And then one guy goes, will you go check it out? What? Why would they do that? Why wouldn't you just... run away immediately. Why it would makes, you why would you do not just take out your guns and run away?
Because there'd be no movie.
Why would you stay there? Like, so many things like didn't make any sense in this movie.
Yeah, it's quite unfortunate. That's one way to put it. It's even quite unfortunate.
When Tony Shalhoub runs up on him at the end of the film and then shoots his phone,
I was like, why would you not shoot him?
What are you waiting for?
You clearly don't like him. You said multiple times how you don't like him.
What is this about? Just shoot. You see the thing right there. You have the thing that you need. He's right there. Shoot him immediately. Shoot him in the head. Shoot him in the head, and then everything's done. What are we doing?
Makes no sense.
What do you need to talk to him for? For what? He didn't have any reason to talk to him. It was annoying because earlier in the movie, they had that moment of a guy being like, you can kill me if you want. And then Rose is like, okay. And then shit shoots him. And I thought that was so funny because I was like, yeah, that's what would happen in real life. Like, you don't listen to somebody's dying words. Like, you don't give a crap about what this guy has to say. You shoot him. He's like, he's the guy who's in, you know what I mean? So I was just like, so you did it before. And part of me was like, did you just do that before so that you could not do it now?
Or did you do it before? Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I genuinely don't know. Like, I don't know. This movie made me... I feel like sometimes you watch a movie and you go, I could have made a movie. I could have made a movie. Like, this was... Also, it was one of the movies... Watching Lakeith's career best way to put this. I still think he's in high demand, but also I feel like now, looking at how big the people were from Atlanta, like even Zazzy, I feel like everyone's working, but they're not working at the pristine level as they were before. And I do feel like that's because that, I'm being very particular, we care about Black artists has went away in such a way. Like, of course, we all know the conversations happen about like Ryan Coogler. But when I look at like television and film, I'm like, man, we just are not leading movies and shows, like leading, like not the number two or like the best friend. But
I agree. I'm wondering, what do you think about this? To me, Lakeith is the way that his career is starting to shape right now is like he's almost like Samuel Jackson. He's in so many movies. And he's such a big name that he knows, producers know, if I put this guy in the movie and have his name in the film, more people are going to see it. But they're also like, we don't want you to lead the movie. So he's just getting these like smaller parts where he's in the movie, but not like a big part of it.
Yep.
You know what I mean? But they're using him promotionally like he's a big part of it because they're trying, because they are using his name, because he is a big enough name that he could be leading, like, or at least he should be.
He should be.
But he rarely does, you know?
I think about him. I think about John Boyega. Like, there's so many of these.
Yeah, where's John Boyega?
I think Daniel Kaluuya. I never say his last name.
Yeah, Kaluuya.
Daniel Kaluuya, like there's so many Black men in particular who just aren't in movies. As even like Lakeith, maybe if this was an honest movie, third bill, fourth bill. Right. If this movie was honest, I think about like One Battle After Another. For it to focus so much on Blackness, it's, you know, there's one Black dude in it who dies, and I think he had like two words. You know, outside of Sinners, right, which is so focused on our skin color. I mean, even if you look at Marty Supreme has like Tyler, the Creator, does nothing. You know what I mean? Like
it's usually there's like at least like, oh, here's the Black movie during awards season. And that they were like, well, we had Sinners, but like Sinners came out in April. Usually there's at least like one or two in December, you know, and there's like nothing.
And then look at the conversation around Sinners. Look at how Variety in particular talked about Sinners versus talking about Marty Supreme. You know what I mean? Right. Like just the conversation alone is so fascinating to me. And, you know, thinking of the Sinners of it all, like I know there's so many hopes on like, not only Black people, but just like original movies and content and hope about Sinners. But I'm like, the way white media is talking about that movie, man, I'm passively optimistic about his chances at winning anything.
So this, what else is there to even say?
You know what? I'm going to send you right now, Bray. I'm going to send you and you and Skylar the trailer to the Grinch that stole the bitches. I feel like y'all don't understand. I feel like y'all don't understand. Oh, dang. Is it not even popping up on YouTube? Oh, no. It's not even popping up on YouTube. Where is their trailer? Oh, see, no one respects Tubi. At least they're making Black movies, I guess. Oh, wait. I found it.
Oh my goodness, what are we even doing?
I'm gonna tell y'all right now, everyone at home, watch this trailer because you're gonna know we should have done it.
Also, like the idea that they like the big part of this heist is one that wasn't real. And then the second part of the heist is them just like going to this place that's supposed to be one of the most secure places ever. They got two security guards that work the entire building, neither of whom are, like, both of them are absolute morons.
Yep.
Somehow, police aren't called while this heist is happening, which doesn't make a lick of sense. And all these chases, I'm just like, how do they not kill, like, it, this many?
How did
whatever.
No one get anything happening to them? I don't know, man.
And then I love at the end where they just drive out and there's this this huge gun battle happening and they just like drive around it and leave.
Dude, windows don't even get cracked. Do they have like a bulletproof car?
No.
Why, man? Someone just let me just let me make a movie. But yeah, that's the movie we watched. We could also watch Trapping in the New Year.
Yep, oh, that's my a real goodness.
Movie. Yep, that's a real movie. What else? I mean, they got a bunch of black movies on it. Trapping in the New Year. We could watch Trapping in Christmas for Christmas. Oh, man, why did they do this? But anyway, that's where I'm at.
I mean, I guess like the big thing for this movie is supposed to be that like, oh, they're robbing people who are robbing somebody else. But like, also, dude, in the beginning, is this just some random dad who decides to rob these people and then has his kid, his wife and his kid in the background? Oh, no, they say later that was her boyfriend, I guess.
Yes, that was the boyfriend.
But I still was just weird. Like, what the hell?
Yeah, this whole thing was weird, man.
Oh, man. I really have nothing else to say about it. I don't really know. The thing that I'm interested in is the fact that Lakeith is clearly popular enough that they put his name on the poster because they know that he'll get people to see it, but they don't want to make him a lead. And I think it's like the reason I bring out Samuel Jackson is because like, I think there are a lot of black actors like this, like Morgan Freeman, Samuel Jackson, like, before, like the reason we started this podcast was because like there were only like a handful of black actors who were leading films like Denzel and Will Smith and then eventually like Jamie Foxx. Mm-hmm. And there were a lot of black actors who were popular, but they were rarely the leads, like Samuel Jackson, like Morgan Freeman, like Forrest Whitaker, right? Like mm-hmm. It's like a lot of supporting roles. Like you know who they are. They keep popping up. But they're always a supporting role character. And I feel like Lakeith is like that person now. Like he's the new one of those. Like he's like in a lot of movies. He has a name. Everybody knows who he is. So he can help sell a film, but he's really never the lead.
I honestly feel like these other people are not as popular as Lakeith. But I think that's a lot of black actors. Like, I didn't see Running Man, but I know the black guy from All American was in it. Like, mm-hmm. I look at, like, I look at, like, Tyler, the Creator. I look at, you know, A$AP Rocky, who's acting in a bunch of movies. He was in If I Had Legs, I Would Kick You as this kind of secondary black character who we really don't know anything about, who helps the white lead, who happens to be Rose Byrne. I look at, like, F1. Damson is in that movie. And
sure.
You know, he's really good in it, but he is truly on Brad Pitt's team. He's in there to serve Brad Pitt. And I feel like and I do think it's very particular, man. I do think it's very particular with black men. You know what I mean? I don't think we have a lot of representation with black women. So I'm not saying that at all. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I do think there's a couple outlier movies. I know, you know, there's another movie coming out with Kiki Palmer and, it's a Bootsy movie. I know like we have One Battle After Another. I feel like we keep seeing black women get to pop up in things and like lead a movie here and there. I keep seeing like, you know,
Tessa Thompson.
Yeah. You know, I feel like we're seeing it, which is wonderful, but I'm like, man, there is something actively happening where there's like an erosion of black male led movies and projects. Erasure. Yeah. And I'm like, what is happening? I don't know. I generally don't know. But yeah.
Well.
Yep. So we're positive this year.
But it's 2026, positive. Though. It's like, yep. You know.
It's a better year. Listen, I think it's a better year, no matter what.
And also, like, we run Venezuela now, I guess.
Don't say that. Let's do the.
All right, it's time for the cause. We rate and review films not based on how much we like them, but whether or not they help the cause of more leading black actors in Hollywood. So if it fully helps the cause, we give it a black fist. If it somewhat helps the cause, we give it a white palm. If it doesn't really help the cause at all, we don't give it anything. On the count of three, Gerard and I will raise up our ratings for this movie. 3, 2, 1.
This hasn't happened in a long time.
Yeah, this movie gets nothing.
Nothing. Nothing. It gets nothing for me because
it gets nothing.
Why Keith had anything? No character. It helped nobody. It helped nobody.
Didn't help. I mean, I'm glad Keegan's in a movie, but it didn't help him.
No.
Because he barely got to do anything.
For the most part, I forgot he was in it. Until again,
he's barely in it.
We spoke about him
he's
already.
He's funny when he's in it, but like he had that, like that scene in the subway thing was funny, but that was basically the only real scene they got. Outside of like little lines here and there. That other kid got more stuff. I mean, he was fun too.
Yeah, but still, that's not Keegan.
Yeah, exactly.
The thing was so funny is I'm like, what movie do we even do next week that has a black person in this?
Nat Wolf. There is nothing.
Nat and I went to the same acting class in New York.
Oh, really?
Him and his brother.
He got a lot of bits. Alex. He got a lot of bits in this movie. Right? Like he was
his
pretty far
away.
Yes, Alex Wolff. Yeah, from Hereditary.
Yep, the acting class. Everyone's famous.
Chukwudi Iwuji, the guy who was the billionaire. Also, because he was the villain in.
Right. He was in Marvel and DC. He's a James Gunn guy.
Yeah, who is he? Yeah, he was. Yeah, Galaxy.
He was in the last Guardians. He also was in season one of Peacemaker.
Okay, yeah, I like him. Yeah, he was barely in it, and like that, the idea that a billionaire wouldn't have their own security team was just outrageous.
Makes no sense.
It was so outrageous. I was like, you're trying to tell me he's a billionaire? This dude has zero security? This dude can be kidnapped in the middle of a restaurant? No, that's not happening. Anyway, no, nothing, zero, nothing. This movie gets nothing.
Yep, deserves nothing. Deserves absolutely nothing.
Well, we are going to do shorter podcasts this year. That's something we are going to stick to.
Yeah. Because where are we at now? Oh, perfect.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, you can find us at Black Men Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. Sorry, not Twitter, Threads and Instagram. BlackMenPodcast.com is the website. We got links to merchandise, links to our Patreon and Red Circle. Patreon and Red Circle is how we help keep this podcast free, supports us so that we can pay to do this podcast. It's just $5 a month, which honestly is truly nothing these days. But you know, that helps. We have a bunch of, we do episodes there every other week. Check that out. You can follow me at John Braylock. I have a improv team called Dance Club Remix that performs at UCB Theater in LA on Herald Night. So check that out.
Yes, James isn't here, but you can follow James at Rule of Three Inc. Rule of Three Inc. On Twitter and Instagram. You can follow me at Gerard Milligan. I think this comes out in time. I have a show this Friday, stand up at the Elysian in Los Angeles. It's a late show. We're going for vibes. It's 10:30. We're treating LA like New York. We're about to be outside late. Screw it. Come through. I know. But come through, show love. We're about to be up.
Oh, yeah. Also, if you rate, review us, give us 5 stars on iTunes. We'll read your review on the air.
Ooh, I like this. I missed this.
Love it. This is from Junior1372. Great show. Love it. Feel like I'm not understanding your guys. This is back in October. Feel like I'm not understanding your guys' views of satire black comedy. If you think the latest PTA isn't a comedy in any way, Paul Thomas Anderson.
Basically, one battle after another. Is that what they're asking about?
Oh, did we say that it wasn't a comedy in any way?
I don't remember that, but
I don't know either. I feel like it is respectfully. There is definitely comedy in it. I don't think it's just a comedy. I understand there is black comedy in it, but like, I guess it still felt like a drama to me. Like there was very serious like themes and anyway, but I don't know. I understand that the sometimes they Hollywood likes to just anything that like people thinks that, I mean, people are like, can call Succession a comedy. So whatever. There is no comedies anymore.
Nope.
There's no movies that are strictly made to make people laugh and that's it.
I want to see
everything
Anaconda.
Is an action com. Everything's a freaking hybrid mix or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, Anaconda's funny.
Anaconda is a comedy. That's clearly a
comedy. Have you seen that?
I haven't seen that. It didn't look good to me, but I don't know. Maybe I'll see it.
I didn't think it looked good either, but then I saw like people be like, oh, it's actually trying to make you laugh.
Yeah.
You know?
Also, somebody else let us know via a one-star review that we have at that there are ICE ads that ran. A couple of people told us that before. So
wait, what? We have ICE ads?
Basically, Red Circle, when Red Circle does ads, they do just whatever. They just put ads on our podcast. So depending on what area you're in, whoever buys those things, like, I don't know. We never see them. We don't do ad reads for that. But yeah, apparently ICE somehow ran ads through Red Circle. And so those showed up.
For a podcast called Black Man Can't Jump in Hollywood?
Well, I'm sure they just bought them for pretty much any podcast that was like cheap. I don't know. I have no idea. I don't really know how to stop it. The only way we would, I don't know if we could, I guess we can like, we can ask Red Circle about that. I don't know if it's still happening. If it is still happening, let us know. We can like talk to somebody at Red Circle and hopefully they don't run those ads. But it's kind of like if you listen to the radio and all of a sudden ads came on, it's not like, we're not like, we don't get to say what ads run or don't run. But I don't know.
Like it. I don't like this.
I don't like it either. But yeah, thank you for letting us know. Okay.
See you next week.
We'll see you next week. Peace.